Henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. A little over a week ago, I put out a video on our internet site on the question of the Pope. If you haven't seen it, I recommend that you take a look at it. The video is entitled, Stuck in a Rut. Now, if you've seen the video, you'll know that it explains why Bergoglio, so-called Pope Francis, is a heretic, is not a true pope, is not even a Catholic. To anticipate the inevitable objections to it, this past Monday, I did some initial reading on the theological question of a heretical pope. I figured that I would mull some points over on my day off while I was swimming laps at the YMCA. It's a very good thing to mull over a problem, to occupy your mind that way. As I was changing in the locker room, one of the wise teenage counselors came in with a little kid who had come in early for the summer day camp, and the kid was all excited. He was quizzing the counselor about the different activities that were scheduled for the summer camp. And the counselor was answering his questions very nicely and very patiently. And then finally, the kid said in a very excited voice to the counselor, "But are you going to teach me to swim?" The counselor replied, "Dude, is the Pope Catholic?" I hope the lifeguards were ready that day. Today's gospel is the call of the apostles, the first appearance of Simon Peter. Whenever I hear it, it takes me back to my youth. The minor seminary I entered at age 14 overlooked Lake Michigan. Every day you walked in under the seminary coat of arms, and you saw the seminary motto, Faciam vos piscatores hominum, I will make you fishers of men. That was the duty of the first pope, St. Peter. That was the purpose and the ideal of the priesthood to which we aspired, now 50 years ago. Like Peter, we aspired to catch souls for Christ, to save them from the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to bring them to heaven. All that was changing, of course. Vatican II, 1965, was just starting to be implemented. The seminary high school, then the seminary college, would be closed for lack of vocations. And then even the academic program at the major seminary, the last 4 years of study before the priesthood, even that would be closed. The buildings, one by one, were shut down, leaving only one building as a residence for the few seminarians who were left. And they were no longer taught at the seminary itself, but were shipped out to a consolidated seminary with members of a religious order. All this destruction, no more vocations. Why? Because Vatican II destroyed the priesthood by destroying the gospel itself. Henceforth, the priest must no longer be like our Lord, a sign of contradiction to the world. But he must accommodate his message to the false values of modern, secular, godless man. Who wants to be a priest to preach a false gospel like that? 50 years after Vatican II, the priesthood and the whole institution of the Novus Ordo Church are still in a downward death spiral. All the stats are down, down, down. And yet, the officials of the Vatican II Church are all in denial about the real cause of the problem. And they still try the same program. Embrace the world and its values in hope it will somehow embrace the church. But it never does, because there is that opposition between the city of God and the city of man. It never works because it destroys the gospel. This is just what we see at work in the latest thing to come out of Bergoglio's Vatican, his recycling encyclical, as it were, Laudato Si, it's called. I read it yesterday. It's 184 pages long, 40,000 words. Most pre-Vatican II encyclicals are very short, very much to the point, very well organized. Not this one. First, it's religious content. Well, there's not much religion in it, and what's there is modernist. There are only 9 citations, 184 pages, only 9 citations to pre-Vatican II theologians. That includes the modernist Teilhard de Chardin, who was silenced by the Holy Office in the 1920s, and, yes, even a Muslim. There are quotes from the schismatic patriarch of Constantinople. The document is a typical windy, vague, modernist production, and you never know as you're reading the words exactly what the point seems to be. From the point of view of our religion, it tries to cobble together a theological basis for Bergoglio's environmental teaching from a few statements in Genesis and Deuteronomy. But if you know the inside of the Vatican II Church, how this works, this is a very cynical exercise, because they basically dismiss these books of the Old Testament as fairy tales anyway. The encyclical talks about the so-called light of faith, but the idea of faith in the modern church is not adherence to what God reveals, but rather personal feelings, what Bergoglio calls encounter. And he uses the modernist buzzword, communion. Now, when the modernists use it, it has nothing to do with the reception of the Holy Eucharist. But rather, when they speak of communion, this is your connection with your fellow man, Christian, pagan, and anywhere in between. There are no citations at all from pre-Vatican II documents of the Magisterium. There's some religious stuff at the end. And then there are 2 prayers, one for Christians and another for non-Christians. So your Muslims and Buddhists and Unitarians can get in on the environmental act as well. The social and political content, however, forms the bulk of what's in the document. And here Bergoglio genuflects to every false god in the environmentalist pantheon. Pollution, waste, recycling, water, global warming, dirty coal, air conditioning. The mere thought of him talking about it makes me feel like going back and pushing the air conditioning down a couple more degrees. Rainforests, animal treatment, crowded cities, wasted food. There is no trite environmentalist sentiment or cliche that he doesn't repeat several times over. His solution is global organizations with power to regulate the environment and to impose sanctions. One world eco-government, as it were. And then, of course, another theme that he has, you're going to solve this problem by redistributing the wealth of the world from the richer nations to the third world nations, and then opening up immigration to absolutely anyone, everywhere. Overall, the theology in it, the religious teaching, is completely made up. Completely made up. There are no antecedents for this junk in any magisterial document. The Vatican summary, in fact, says that the points in the document should be incorporated into an examination of conscience. I nearly laughed out loud when I read that one. As if anyone goes to confession anymore in the new church, as if they believe in any sort of sin in the new church, and now thanks to Bergoglio, they do not even believe in hell. Because he says that the wicked will not be punished eternally in hell, but rather will be annihilated. So what's to examine your conscience for? And the document is boring, boring, boring. Our bookstore could sell it here to parishioners who are insomniacs. 5 minutes of this stuff, and you're out like an environmentally safe light bulb. Go straight out. No one will read it. But it achieves its purpose. It has a symbolic value. It gives a moral aura, as it were, entirely fraudulent from the point of view of Catholic teaching, to the worldly powers who seek to control every aspect of our lives for their own profit and eventually to eradicate the true religion from the church. The organized forces of naturalism, godless, secular man. The document seeks to censure opposition to this program as evil and as morally wicked. It is sinful to oppose recycling. It is sinful not to believe in climate change. It parallels promoting the acceptance of this wicked parody of marriage that the courts, the media, and the godless seek to impose on all our society. The call of St. Peter and the call of his successors was to fish men for Christ, to show them the way to heaven, to bring them to eternal salvation. Not to fish men for the UN, for Greenpeace, and the spirit of this world. The great Catholic writer Chesterton said, "He who marries the spirit of the times must soon become a widower." And that is the lesson that 50 years of the effects of Vatican II have taught us. Marry the spirit of the times, and the spirit of the times will abandon and reject you. Without the faith of Peter, without the Catholic faith, you cannot be a true successor of Peter. So is the Pope Catholic? If not, can he be the Pope? I think we know the answer to that one too, dude. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.